This is Michael. You're listening to Models of Masters, and I'm so grateful you're here. I'm breaking down personal stories, learned wisdom, and pieces of insight I hope can help you along your journey. Head over to my website, michaelbecker.org, for much more. And with that, let's get right into the show. You know, I was thinking back on the last decade the other day, and 10 years ago, me was such a different animal than the person that I've become through the experiences I've had since then. I began my schooling as a journalist because I figured I love writing and this is the next natural progression. And so coming out of school, I thought, hey, I'll go write for a newspaper or I'll go into advertising. But then life threw me a curveball and I ended up moving to a large data analytics company doing a marketing internship. And so I had to learn how to create content. And then I had to learn branding and corporate advertising and blogging. I had to pivot and learn these slightly new skills. And over time, I realized that my profession had not been my passion. And back in 2019, I had a massive awakening and set out on a mission to align those two. And through that process, I realized, holy shit, I've been playing so small. I began learning more and more about lifestyle and how to create the freedom and the purpose that I actually desired. So I began learning more high income skills, looking for greater leverage and learning how money works. I realized if I wanted to get to the places I wanted to get to, I would have to learn sales, coaching, course creation, funnel building, investing, real estate, and so on. And so to bring it full circle here, I view my true profession now, not as what I may be doing tomorrow or a year from now on paper, but as a creator of abundance in every sense of the word. Skill stacking, learning, growing, evolving, and investing in myself is my primary job day in and day out, because that's the golden ticket to ascending above the rat race, to attaining lifestyle freedom and scaling global influence. And I'm committed to that journey, and that's a process that we can all shift into and choose to pursue. See, the most important thing that you can be doing right now, and this is going to differ from what any of the other influencers or gurus that you follow tell you, is to expand your consciousness. It's to learn, right? It's to broaden your vantage point of what's possible and of what you can create. You know, I look back and I wish that at 18 or 20 years old, I had the vision and fervor and passion I have now to ascend in the world through entrepreneurship. And I realized for some people, they're bitten by that bug early in life. I'm only 31 now, so I still have time, but man, if I'd spent the amount of time and energy I put into going out and chasing girls and partying in my 20s, into building credit, learning how business works, reading books, scheming on a lifestyle vision, I'd be a decade ahead of where I'm at now. So moral of my story is to start now. Don't fall in line to what society or school has conditioned you to be. And expand your perception, expand the possibilities, because you are so much more powerful than you've been led to believe. Have you heard the term success consciousness? It's something I've been focused on for the past 5 or so years of my life in pursuit of the highest threshold of success for myself and those I get to help. And what I've discovered around success is that, number one, everyone has the potential to create it. But number two, successful people literally believe in themselves to their core. They believe they deserve results from the work they put in. They've spent time cultivating a unique ingenuity and building assets or businesses that reflect that. And what I started to notice as I interacted with and interviewed masters across disciplines, across demographics, are a few common denominators of how they think, how they feel, and behave. And the more of these things that they embodied, it seemed like the more successful they were. Now, we can all do these things. Success and its qualities aren't reserved
for just the elite or the rich. They're accessible to anyone at any time, simply by deciding to incorporate these traits into your makeup, into your disposition, into your way of thinking and working. And so let's get into some of the top character traits and ways of being of the most successful people in the world. Successful people see alternative opportunities and choices where others see only a single option. They don't look at life as being linear, but multidimensional. This ability to see multiple solutions instead of one is called divergent thinking, and it's actually one of the qualities of genius. Successful people aren't just willing to deviate to get out of line, but they're compelled to. It's the only way they know how to live. If it's been done before or being done by the masses, you have to be able to find your own angle. And that's exactly what I did with my previous content brand, New Earth Knowledge. I found a sub-niche and an underserved audience that overlapped with my own divergent thinking about the topic of creation and nature of reality, and I built a content library around those insights. So you have to be different, and you have to go against the grain and be willing to be outcast. Successful people see life as existing on a spectrum. They don't categorize things as good or bad, for example, but instead they ask, to what extent? If they misstep, they immediately get to work on a plan to course correct. Their ability to pivot and to be resourceful in the face of turbulence gives them an edge where others become attached to the wins or identify with the losses. They do neither. Their MO is to keep it moving. Relatedly, they don't see very many things as one-sided, debates, opinions, or ideas. They're objective realists, which means their vantage point in viewing situations from an even-keeled place allows them to expand their periphery so they can see every possible truth. You also have to be slow to judgment, but quick to act. You have to be able to keep your composure in emotionally charged circumstances. This is a huge one. If you allow yourself to become easily angered by external situations, you have to get it in check. You have to do practices to calm your nervous system so that you can remain neutral and centered, even when things get stressful. And to that point, when life tests high performers, they refuse to bend over. The world is unfair, but if you normalize dealing with uncertainty, then you can expect to encounter obstacles, but refuse to succumb to them. To what lengths are you willing to go in order to achieve your goals? How many times can you get knocked down and get back up, wipe the blood from your face, and keep going? The only time you lose is when you quit. As long as you keep going, you cannot lose. Another quality of success is being willing to bend the rules. Now, I'm not talking about breaking the law or cheating outright or hurting another person, but at some point, you're going to be faced with a crossroads that will force you to take a risk. Point blank, successful people are rebels. They don't accept what the world tells them to do. They operate by their own moral code, not the world's. This can be powered by greed or good. And yes, some successful people operate from a misguided moral compass. Obviously, you can stay heart-led and still win. But this is about refusing to let anything get in your way. Successful people have a different perspective on stress. They understand that stress is actually part of being human. Yes, stress can be a sign that you need to slow down. If you're anxious, for example, then slow down and take a break. But stress can also be a natural byproduct of high-stakes work or of difficult conversations or working outside of your comfort zone. So learn to manage stress, learn to work with it, not to demonize it as something that you should never feel. If you're playing the game at a high level, you have to train yourself to focus on your game. That means you'll have to pass up seemingly good opportunities, but which don't align with your goal. There's tons of options of things you could do out there. Success knows you have to say no to the majority so you can say yes to a small minority. And the ones you choose, you can go all in on because spreading yourself too thin is a recipe for disaster. The most successful people in the world are hard to reach people. Think about this. the more successful you become, the more status you attain. And high status people are not easy to just call up and have a casual chat with. They understand their attention is their most precious resource, not their house or their money or their cars. Attention is finite. So you have to allocate it sparingly. Where you choose to put it, go all in. No half-assing anything. From now on, it's either a hell yes or a no. Successful people have trained their mind to look for the angles, to look for gaps and hidden opportunities at all times. And they're always looking for points of leverage. You will be successful if you can use arbitrage to amp up the disparity between what you have and what the market needs. Easy to say, harder to do. All the successful people I know are masters at positioning themselves to own systems of supply for niches where demand is growing. So you have to become an in-demand asset to the world. I like to think about it as becoming a weapon, as sharpening myself so I can cut and create and capitalize through my market. And that's key. Successful people are excellent risk assessors. They're also calculated risk takers. If a highly probable outsized reward is paired with an acceptable risk, they're taking that chance almost every time. And if what they have to lose becomes substantial, then they become more conservative to preserve what they have. So understand how risk tolerant or risk averse you can afford to be based on where you are, and make decisions accordingly. Another characteristic of the most creative achievers is they're contrarian thinkers. The words no, can't, won't, shouldn't are not in their realm of reality. They never accept no for an answer. It's simply woven into their nature. They do not know how to settle. You want to shift into this mode of thinking. You're always coming up with new solutions. Related to that, never stay complacent. Never be satisfied. You can recognize the successes and acknowledge the big wins, but that drive can never die. Material possessions don't satisfy. Real inspiration comes from a place within that compels you to make a proverbial dent in the universe. And along with that, this point is huge, especially when you're starting out. Don't work for money. Successful people know they have to work for free and bring value to the world before money will follow. So work for impact. Money is a correlative resource that comes after we've brought value. Most successful people are driven by a desire to master the game. Paradoxically, it's that journey to grow and master oneself that often results in ridiculous sums of money being generated. Then you can use money to build and invest in yourself. Successful people seek discomfort and love failure because of the lessons it provides. They know they can learn more by losing than winning, and as long as they don't give up, they'll win in the grand scheme. They transmute turbulence into transformation and use it to glean quick wisdom before moving on. Their emotional turnover period is powerful and quick. Piggybacking from that, they do not idle. They don't stall on decisions for long. When you act at a rapid pace, extended over a meaningful amount of time, the compounding results of your success will be much greater. Get serious to be successful. Where others see work as have to do, successful people see work as get to do. They don't try to achieve their goals. They achieve them at all costs. They're willing to sacrifice now for returns down the line. And they're willing to forego nice to haves for their goals, which for them are necessities. Develop a knack for finding constraints in your life and eliminate or repair them quickly. High achievers also know their own weaknesses and compensate for them by bringing others in to cover those areas, or they make incremental improvements on their weaknesses until they can do those things reasonably well or at least good enough so it's no longer ruinous. So know your deficiencies, then eliminate them, delegate to cover them, and get them to a minimally acceptable threshold. When's the last time you felt truly obsessed about what you were working on? I mean, so consumed that you couldn't stop, you couldn't walk away. That's who you have to become to excel in any field. There's nothing like good old-fashioned grit and hustle. The most successful people in the world seem crazy to everyone watching from the outside because of how hard they work. But to them, it's just who they are and what they do. Become obsessed with your work and the best for last. This might sound like a cliche, but they do what they were born to do. See, the most successful people in the world discover what they were born to do. I believe we're all born with innumerable capabilities and skills and proficiencies. Those are a dime a dozen. But purpose, that's the stuff of life. Successful people merge their purpose with their profession. And I know that's easy to say and much harder to do. This point is about Ikigai, which is the Japanese concept that basically says to find the center point of what you love, what you're skilled at, and what the world needs. Once you do, success becomes a byproduct of just giving your gift. In this way, success is no longer some abstract thing only meant for the 1% at the top. It's something you can have, that you are right now. And once you find your purpose, success is simply a function of two variables, hustle plus heart.
There's no one more qualified, more capable, or more well-positioned to captain this ship of any idea, of any business, of any creation that can be invented, that can be imagined by the mind. In other words, why not you? Why not you? See, the world is a free and open canvas for the reception, claiming, and cultivation of ideas into reality. There is no one who is more capable than you to pioneer that idea, that business, that creation that you've been ruminating on for the last few months or maybe even years. The question is not a matter of creativity, but rather one of confidence. See, what separates those who go down in history, who the world remembers for decades, and those whose names will soon be forgotten, is one thing, and that is the willingness to take bold, decisive action, to execute on big ideas when they arrive. Ideas are a dime a dozen. Action. Execution is the stuff of masters. Masters refine their ability to spot trends, to uncover fresh angles and perspectives through which to attack those trends, and then most importantly, match what the market needs with the idea that they have in a very pointed and poignant way. That is where scale, success, and global impact can be had. So I ask you again, why not you? And perhaps a better way to phrase this concept is that if you don't, someone else will. See, ideas are like confetti, little packets of inspiration and information being dispersed by infinite intelligence. And I mean this literally, not figuratively. Ideas are not the product of thought or of the mind. Ideas are little frequency packets containing data having been dispensed, having been ejected from infinite intelligence. See, the world rewards those who are able to capture, claim, and create real abundance, material value from the ideas which it has presented, ripe for the taking. The way that you attach to these packets of data is by aligning your frequency to receive them. And as you go about that process, and as you prove that you're an action taker and not just a thinker, the universe starts to reward you with bigger and better ideas because it knows that you're an action taker. And so the difference between those whose names will be etched in history versus those whose names will be forgotten is simply a matter of one thing, the willingness to take bold and decisive action upon receiving that great idea. And so I ask again, why not you? Someone has to captain that ship. Someone has to pioneer this big idea, planting those seeds in the world and watering them day by day. This is an iterative process. Rome was not built overnight. I think that a lot of people succumb to fear that they can't, that they're not the right person to spearhead this thing, that someone else is better situated, that someone else is more worthy, is more well prepared, is more well liked. When in reality, there is no one more destined, there is no one better than you, if you choose to commit. And when you realize that all of the things around you, all the tools, the technologies, all the buildings, the places, the infrastructure, everything within the world around us was built by people no smarter than you, you can feel a sense of empowerment, of motivation within that, to know that it isn't intellect, it isn't IQ, it isn't credentialism or qualifications that determines who rises to the top of that heap. It's simply a matter of those who are strong enough to convert ideas into action and deciding now to be that person forever. So I ask again, why not you? If you want to live like everyone else, think like everyone else. But if you want to live differently, you have to think differently. One of the flagship characteristics of genius is what's called divergent thinking. Convergent thinking, which is its opposite, is the standard for most people. It's based on narrowing options toward a single right answer. But when we embrace divergent thinking, we're able to suspend pre-held assumptions by looking for alternative answers. And it turns out, most things in the world are actually non-binary, meaning they're not as black and white as we may think. Divergent thinkers know that for most questions, there are multiple correct pathways to finding an answer. This is about changing the process by which we think, by enhancing creativity while decreasing ignorance. See, if rational thought creates logical, linear, but limited answers, then irrational thought can create non-linear but more imaginative solutions that can lead to better results. And so divergent thinking means training yourself to think illogically. Now, this isn't something that you either have or don't have. It's a skill that you can learn. You can actually train your mind so that it simply becomes the involuntary default of how you process information and solve problems. The default setting of the brain is to seek out shortcuts, right? It looks for the quickest, easiest, most obvious route to avail an answer. It optimizes for solutions that will require the least amount of processing power, much like a computer. This can be a good thing if the problem being solved is simple and straightforward. But just because something seems straightforward doesn't mean that it is, and it certainly doesn't account for the fact that we may not even be asking the right question in the first place. So divergent thinking not only helps us uncover multiple pathways to a correct answer, it also questions the premise of the point in question. It embraces the fact that there is always a solution, always other possibilities. The problem is, many of these potentialities are non-visible, hiding behind the veil of the conscious mind. So how do you access and activate the subconscious? How do you retrain your mind so that you can become a naturally contrarian thinker? There's three ways that I've isolated that work for me. Number one, get into liminal thought. So liminal thought, if you're unfamiliar, is basically the same frequency as the alpha state. So if you've heard of the different brainwave states, when you're in alpha, the subconscious is slightly more activated than your typical waking state. Now, with the subconscious activated and with the brain working at the same time, you can discover ideas that you would not have been privy to before. And so one of the keys to becoming a divergent thinker
who can uncover truly creative, different ideas is to work in liminal thought more often, and then to merge that mode of processing with the brain's normal neurological decisioning process until you quite literally rewired your mind. To get into liminal thought, this is really just a place where you are able to be more free thinking than usual. So you don't typically want to be focused on something that requires a whole lot of thought. Anything that you can do autonomously that can kind of allow the mind to wander can be a good way to get into liminal thought. For example, something like driving for me, I'm still focused on the road, but it's almost as if it's on autopilot in a sense. And that's a good place for me, for my mind to be more creative. I often receive really interesting insights and ideas when I'm driving because the mind is relaxed. Other activities like going on a run or workouts that allow you to get into a slightly more relaxed mode of thinking can invite in those insights and downloads. Number two, begin coming outside of time more often. By engaging in activities that take you outside of time or even out of body for a period, you can alter your perception of things by rising above assumptions. And that's really what this is about, rising above assumptions. So if you can temporarily separate yourself from the material and the day-to-day, then you can free your awareness into a more objective yet more creative vantage point. Things like deep meditation, listening to music, or cardio workouts can all help you pop out of time and have the desired effect here. And then number three, go beyond group think. One of the most difficult situations to go against the grain in is group settings. So often at work, we fall into line more easily and we tend to acclimate to the status quo in a way that may restrict our ability to think freely and come up with outside the box ideas. Ironically, the more people that come together to try to solve a problem, the more likely they are to settle on a simple solution. More minds do not always make for better work, even if they make it temporarily easier. So ask yourself, ask your team questions to pique their imagination. Ask, what if it isn't exactly true that this is how it works? Or could it be possible that there may be another way? Also understand, we've been heavily programmed through school, through work, through our cultural conditioning to be linear thinkers, to be one-track minded, to find the answer. Shifting into this mindset is stepping away from the pack. It's diverting from what the world wants you to be. Yet divergent thinking is the way of artists, creators, entrepreneurs, innovators, inventors, and bringers of the new revolution, of the new earth. It's truly the key to accessing our true potential. That is it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. My book, Content Capitalist, is now on sale. You can visit my website, michaelbecker.org, to grab your copy. There's also a link in the description. And if you'd like to learn more about what me and my team at Neocore are building, you can visit our website, neocore.co. You can learn more there and join the waitlist for when we launch later this year.